And we've been talking a little bit about MRD measurement. Could you talk a little bit about what we know right now about the clinical utility of that strategy and whether you think it's worth doing for a general oncologist and community-based practice?
So I think right now MRD measurement is not ready for prime time. I think it really should just be confined to the use in clinical trials. Part of that is because we still are trying to figure out what the best way is to measure it. We're still trying to get uniformity in how we measure it. And mostly it's because we don't truly know what to do with the data. So yes, we know that achieving MRD negativity is good, but we don't know how to use that to individualize treatment decisions. And if you're getting a piece of information that you don't know how to use, then I'm not sure that we should be getting it in the day-to-day practice.
So I'm going to go into your next case, but one final question about this case, which is what your trigger finger is to use exazimib. So if you think about the possibility of using exazimib, everything from starting with upfront as part of induction to maintenance, as we've been talking about, to relapse disease, what does it take for you to consider it? For example, if a patient says, maybe the patient's very well informed, the patient might be a physician, whatever, and says to you, I know there's an oral drug out there, and I just don't really like coming into clinic. I'd rather take a pill. Is that enough for you to go, okay, or do you need it to be, it's a 2-hour drive, or they've had some kind of complication? How interchangeable do you think exazimib and bortezomib is in the spectrum of disease?
I don't think we know the answer to that yet. Much of my use has been in the relapsed refractory setting. Obviously, it's not approved yet for the upfront setting, and so I really have not used it for any newly diagnosed patient. I have on occasion made the substitution after patients have started getting neuropathy with bortezomib. It's a little bit difficult to piece out the benefit of exazimib in patients who have progressed on bortezomib. There, I worry that you aren't going to get a lot of disease benefit, but for patients who are still sensitive to bortezomib, but perhaps either couldn't tolerate it because of side effects or it's just inconvenient because of travel distance, I think it's probably acceptable to switch out, but we just don't know that yet. And to be honest, I think we aren't even sure yet what the optimal dosing schedule is of exazimib. Obviously, it was approved in the weekly dosing, 3 weeks on, 1 week off of lenalidomide, but obviously, there's been more recent data going back to the type of dosing schedule that was studied in one of the phase one studies where it's twice weekly. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to especially offer it to a newly diagnosed transplant eligible patient when we know what to expect with RVD for response rates, and we're still a little bit unsure in the transplant eligible population what to expect with lenalidomide exazimib dex and whether we need to be giving it once weekly or twice weekly. And again, in the relapsed refractory setting, I would mainly use it in patients who, for some reason, did not receive lenalidomide with their upfront treatment and who were still bortezomib sensitive.